the babysitter. Put on your pants. Come out with your hands up.
The following program is intended for mature audiences.
They used to bounce messages across the earth. Shows. Everyone in the old world had a show. Do you think there's still somebody out there? Sending shows? Who knows? Those are the planes of silence.
Truth, the half-truth, and nothing of the truth. Veritas News, now with Sal Manella.
Good evening, this is Sal Manella with the Veritas News. The vote on the NRA-sponsored bill to allow silencers on semi-automatic so-called hunting weapons was imminent, thus warned Hillary Clinton.
In a tweet liked and retweeted widely right after the Las Vegas gun massacre, Secretary Clinton's tweet served as a warning. She reminded the nation that thousands of country music concert goers who successfully survived the massacre sought cover because of hearing the rapid fire of the shooter's weapon. The death toll, she said, would have been much greater had the shooter's gun been silenced, giving no warning at all to the thousands who reached safety because of their hearing. In what many are calling a ridiculously outrageous spin, NRA spokesman immediately pointed out that thousands of music goers at the rap concert on the other side of the Las Vegas hotel at the same time, because of their ability to hear what they are calling dangerously loud music, remained safe only because of earplugs or silencers that protected them. Meanwhile, the right wing and GOP's constant and now clearly ritualistic response to the current massacre that, quote, now is not the time to talk about gun control, end quote, shows that the United States Congress is fully equipped with silencers. GOP Senator John Thune of South Dakota shot down angry constituents' ire about lack of gun control laws directly after the Las Vegas massacre that killed 59 and wounded nearly 600 others. Thune actually recommended possible victims of tomorrow's massacres take personal responsibility to seek cover. He said, quote, they need to get small, end quote. Reportedly, NRA leaders who heard Thune's advice were pleased, prompting watchdogs of congressional corruption to suspect that Thune's future NRA contributions will get big. One angry watchdog, requesting anonymity, expressed hopefully that whatever weapon in Thune's collection is the senator's biggest gun remain large while being shoved up his ass. Some Americans, appalled at the GOP's callous, flippant remarks in the wake of these daily massacres, note that even the left's rhetoric is hateful. Right-wing defenders point out that progressive radio host of Savino Veritas radio show was too glib after the shooting on a baseball field of Congressman Steve Scalise. The radio host said that conservatives need to know that, especially on a baseball field, leading off second base, if you lean too far to the right, you're bound to be picked off. This has been Sal Manila with the Veritas News. Now here's Tom Savino with Savino Veritas.
Savino Veritas, live from Burbank, California.
Greetings, everyone. Tom Savino here from Burbank, California. I'm so glad to be back. I hope you are glad to hear me. It's been quite a while since June. I'll talk about the heart attack and the disaster in Utah and all those things that have happened to me personally. But we have a lot to deal with here in the world of Savino Veritas, the fine wine of select gripes. Veritas, in wine to truth, I may be joking, but I'm never kidding.
Very Veritas is satire spelled backwards. With a V for victory.
Savino Veritas fans, I'm back. Yes, I'm back. After a heart attack in June, it's been many months of recuperation, and it was quite an experience I had on the floor of my living room on Father's Day, the evening of Father's Day. My wife was out of town. I was home alone with my two cats, who were of no help whatsoever after all the love and cuddling I've given them over the years. And yet, I survived. I did indeed. I survived. Typically, I experienced chest pain. Not typically. It did not travel. It remained in the center of my chest, above my sternum, and gradually got worse as the evening went on. Father's Day evening, my wife out of town with the daughters in Utah at the ridiculously expensive house we bought for them. That is the house from hell. I'll tell you more about that at some other point. In the meantime, I'm thinking I'm suffering from indigestion, not now, ladies and gentlemen, on Father's Day. And it got worse and worse as the night went on, as I was surfing the web. And about midnight on Father's Day evening, it became unbearable. And it was so for about 20 minutes. And people later said, well, why didn't I call 911? And honestly, the only reason I didn't was the pain was so great, I couldn't do it. The pain was all-consuming, which was what I thought I was suffering from, all-consuming, the food and drink I had earlier in the evening. It was not all-consuming food that caused this, apparently, and I just needed to find a spot on the floor. I've been meaning to clean this spot. I needed to find a place I could rest on the floor that would keep me from experiencing this pain. And as many of you know, I'm a yoga teacher, and I know that there are certain positions that will alleviate indigestion. And I got into those positions, and it did seem to ease the pain a little bit. And finally, I just found a position that was the least painful, stayed in that position, and it got progressively better, the pain did. And I was relieved enough of the pain to just lie on my side on the floor, and I fell asleep. I did wake up, as you can tell now, listening to Savino Veritas here and SRN1 and various other radio stations around the world, and of course on juicedtalk.com. But I found a spot. I woke up a couple hours after this and was not feeling any pain, went to bed. And the next morning, got up, not feeling maybe a little bit of pain, but just compared to the night before, nothing like that. So I felt I had indigestion. However, reading the web, I noticed that one should not ignore the event and seek doctorial help immediately, which is what I did. I drove to my hospital, Kaiser in Hollywood, and the urgent care doctors also thought I was having a bout of indigestion, and gave me a Tums or something, and that helped actually alleviate a little bit more of my pain, and they were pretty sure, as I was, that I was suffering from indigestion. But they did the test on the enzyme. The troponin levels were through the roof, as they say, and clear evidence that I did suffer a heart attack. They told me to go to from that room to the emergency room, and were happy to wheel me there, except they were out of wheelchairs, and said, well, look, since you came here on your own, perhaps you are able to walk yourself to the emergency room, which I did. But they immediately took me in and admitted me, and I was there for a week, and two stents later, I did a stint in the hospital and two stents in the hospital. Two stents later, I was released a week later, and then the rest is history. It's changed my life quite a bit. I've been exercising a lot lately. I can't watch my diet any more than I had in terms of the proper things to eat to avoid heart attacks. Ironically, my cholesterol level taken the day of my heart attack was, or taken the day I went to the emergency room, my cholesterol level was 163 total, lowest it's ever been in my adult life. That's from not having to take statin drugs on my own. From the high 200s, I dropped it down to 163 just by eliminating dairy. And I would recommend you eliminate dairy. You know, dairy is okay for some people and not for others. And I didn't even eliminate dairy to reduce my cholesterol. I eliminated the dairy to see if my joints felt better, which they did when I eliminated dairy. Also, I find that if I have too much dairy, it's hard to eliminate. But that's another story. And yeah, there's many things. I'm taking all these drugs that I swore I would never take and I wouldn't have taken if I hadn't actually officially had a heart attack. But I'm glad I'm back, and I hope you are too, and glad to talk to you all. Glad to see my kitties again, even though they were not much help as I was dying on the floor. And wondered if I would come back at all to Savino Veritas on the airwaves here at SRN1 and JuiceTalk.com, where you could hear us 24/7. You could hear Savino Veritas 24/7 on JuiceTalk.com, among other fine, unique broadcasts at JuiceTalk.com. And I thought, maybe I won't do this anymore. I mean, why am I doing this? Do people care? I don't know if you do, and I hope you do, and I hope you're glad I'm back, and here I am. But this is Savino Veritas, the fine wine of select gripes, so let's get back to gripes. George Skelton is a columnist in the Los Angeles Times. He is a conservative Republican, and was lamenting this bill that is in the state legislature here in California that would require individuals running for the presidency to release his or her tax returns before they're allowed to be on the ballot. Now, he claims and thinks that this bill, should it pass, would be unconstitutional and be null and void quickly in the legal system. And he may be right about that. He does point out that it seems to be a bill that is geared to one particular person in the universe, and I would like to say that that person should be unmentioned. I would like to say that he is an unmentionable person, but obviously Savino Veritas will be dealing with Donald Trump until he's gone. One of us is going to go, and we will be dealing with his demise, which is one of the reasons I came back to Savino Veritas. I want to make sure I show him the door. Let's show him the door together. Here's Savino Veritas. Now, I wrote back to the LA Times, and this is what they, this is what I said, and this is what they published. Dear Mr. Skelton, I am an American and proud to be one among the millions here in California who together with the other tens of millions of Americans in the other 49 states, District of Columbia, Puerto Rico, and hundreds of millions in nations the world over, make up the burgeoning mass of people whose loud voices caused a realization, finally, to prompt our so-called president to lament last week to an aide, quote, "People really fucking hate me," end quote. He has no idea how much my family and I do. None. California's bill to require future presidential candidates to publish his or her tax returns will probably, as you noted, be deemed unconstitutional. And if this bill were introduced given other less dire national and international circumstances, yet still aimed at one particular individual to come clean, so to speak, I'd think the bill itself was demeaning to the institution of our state government and what should be the revered process of legislation. But these are not ordinary times. The office of the president itself cannot possibly be degraded any more than it has already by our collective allowance in letting a mentally ill, internationally disgraceful, accidentally fascist, ineptly skilled, corruptly kleptocratic, treasonous traitor in the Oval Office. Everything that can be done to chip away at this cancerous regime should be done. If that means writing and passing an otherwise frivolous bill in the form of a bogus legislation targeted at just one individual, if there ever was a time to do it, now is the time. Let it be. Let it pass. Let it be deemed unconstitutional. But let it also be a sensational reminder to the still yet to be awakened citizens who are, unbelievably, still on the fence about this dangerous thing in the White House to wake the fuck up. Let it be another nail in the coffin of this not-so-hidden Nazi-loving American nightmare. Tom Savino, Burbank, California. Tom Savino, Savino Veritas, here from Burbank, California, by way of Toronto, Canada, SRN1. Hello up there in Canada, at SRN1. And, of course, you can listen to Savino Veritas 24/7 at juicedtalk.com. All of the Savino Veritas episodes are archived there, juicedtalk.com. Now, I am back after the heart attack and some very traumatic incidents relating to a house my wife and I bought for our daughters in Utah. That's another story sometime. Actually, it's so traumatic that I don't even want to think about it at the moment. So let me escape with you, please, into the imaginary realms or the reality realms of Savino Veritas, the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Savino Veritas, in wine the truth, the fine wine of select gripes. We are talking about, I was thinking about the massacre thinking about the massacre in Las Vegas, the gun massacre. Now the number one massacre, mass shooting in America, to beat last year's mass shooting and the year before that. And I was thinking maybe I should do a show dedicated, or maybe I should make Savino Veritas dedicated to gun violence. But I realized that if I were to do that, not only would I have to make this show not just a weekly show, but a daily show. And I don't have the time to do that, ladies and gentlemen, so I'm sorry. Because the mass shootings are daily. They're daily. Last year, there were more mass shootings than days in the year. More mass shootings than days in the year. So I guess we'll have to have somebody else do that. Savino Veritas in Wine the Truth.
Veritas is satire spelled backwards. With a V for victory.
A recent New York Times expose focusing on the growing divide of the American populace began with a list of topics exemplifying the divide, calling the opposition a, quote, threat, and calling them selfish. And on the subject of coupling, men and women coupling, and maybe gay people, I'm not sure, and I quote here, quote, even unsuitable marriage material. I find that portrayal puzzling. It's as if that hot babe at the end of the bar would be a candidate as a mate, even if she were a threat or selfish. Even unsuitable marital material. Even unsuitable marriage material. I mean, that concept suggests that somehow we've crossed the line socially. If we disqualify a possible marriage prospect because she believes Trump had millions of people at his inauguration, I would. It depends, I guess. If she tends to see crowd size or anything significantly larger than it is, then maybe I'd keep her in the pool of possibility. It is often in the pool when t-shirts are wet that even Republican women fare well among the possibilities. That's why they're called possible it tees. If you're a punster like me, I may be teasing you too much now. But marriage, you'll remember, is a two-way street. Will she keep me under consideration if I believe every citizen should have the same government health care, that the nation should be guided by the Constitution, and that Constitution doesn't give citizens the right to slaughter elementary school children, or even Republican congressmen on a baseball field, just because of the Second Amendment? In June, on that issue, a left-wing gunman shot a Republican congressman. I think his name was Scalise, so Scalise. A gunman shot a Republican congressman in the hip while the legislator practiced on a baseball field. I'm guessing these Republicans hadn't gotten too much practice in, as far as base running goes, anyway. The conservative congressman shot was leading off second base. Everyone knows if you lean too far to the right, you're bound to get picked off. Now back to marriage and politics. You know, I think politics in a relationship is vital. My wife and I have been on the verge of splitting up numerous times for my putting a not satisfactorily cleaned peanut butter spoon in the dish drainer, for her leaving the cab light on in the car so I have to jump start it for the fifth fucking time in 2 months. Could we stay married at all if we didn't share a passionate contempt against authoritarianism, fascism, and tyranny? I think not.
Real estate agent Van Harnsberger has moonlighted as wrestling villain, the progressive liberal Daniel Richards, since late 2015.
Get up, Kyle Fox News maggot!
Mostly in small towns in western Kentucky and east Tennessee. I asked him to give me a lesson on wrestling and politics.
Okay. Tuck in my chin, and then I'm going to take a bump. All right. Bridge of the shoulders.
The progressive liberal persona is the product of the very real friendship between Dan and his mentor, Bo James, and their real antagonism over politics and Appalachian culture.
Oh, shit, Bo! Okay, my fucking knee!
It's a struggle between my beliefs, his belief. Dan is seen as an outsider coming into these mountains trying to tell us how to live. He's no character. He's no gimmick. It's him. It's not just the politics.
It's the hypocrisy of the right that I can't stand.
So your politics informs your style of performance.
I think the people's narrow-minded view gives me a platform to troll them.
And you tell the people, I'm going to punch him right in the mouth. They're with you.
And so when you're driving with him and you're thinking like, oh my God, I'm so mad right now, are you also kind of thinking like, I could use that
yeah,
later?
Yeah, every bit of it.
Is there like a specific time you remember?
Going to Leatherwood, Kentucky when he started about clean energy and I pulled the car over and I said, get away from me right now. We need to stay away from each other for a few minutes.
The progressive liberal is a heel, a bad guy wrestler who usually loses to the good guy.
Gonna do four eyes.
Which raises an obvious question. Why would someone put himself forward as a symbol of liberal values, knowing his job is to get his ass kicked every night?
Guys who care about winning and losing over entertaining a crowd don't belong in this business.
There has to be a payoff to the story. You just taught her how to wrestle. She's got to whoop you.
It's the rules. After our late-night wrestling school, Dan and Bo drove 3 hours to Campton, Kentucky. There, Dan fought his Trump-supporting foe, Kyle Maggard.
I don't care about Dan's political view. It's the smug arrogance he has when he thinks he's better than people from Eastern Kentucky. There's no money here. And I personally, I'm not a big fan of coal, but that's what we have.
I am a Trump supporter only because I am the middle class. Who better to hate than the liberal? And you just want to jump up and smack him.
From Washington, D.C., the progressive liberal,
one way I rub the audience the wrong way, it's like, if you're a liberal, it's almost like a synonym for gay. I don't care, and so therefore I also don't care if they think I'm gay. And actually, because they think it anyways, I just egg it on a little bit. It's like flamboyance, you know? And so I like pressing that button.
Wrestling has a long history of using politics to create bad guys. The Iron Sheik, the Russian Bear, Tojo Yamamoto. Notice they have one thing in common. They're foreigners. But now with Dan, the enemy comes from inside America. And Donald Trump plays that up too.
But when I see him tweet, when I see him say something, I know he's doing the same thing that we're doing.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's to rile people up.
Oh, he's so good at reading the crowd.
Yeah, he knows his audience.
Do you think politics is becoming more like professional wrestling?
The whole world is. Because it's used to make money. You know, wrestling's the only people stupid enough to tell them it was predetermined.
I'm Keith Olbermann, and this is The Resistance. This extraordinary sourced quote from Trump was put out by Mike Allen of Axios.com, co-founder of Politico, at 8 o'clock on a Saturday morning. The Trump quote is so stark, so shattering, so unprecedented that, in fact, it should have been saved for noon on a weekday and have been preceded by a whistle loud enough to be heard by everybody in the nation, commanding them to stop what they were doing and listen to it. A Trump advisor says that after a tumultuous 7 months in office, it had finally dawned on the president, quote, "People really effing hate me." Donald Trump and I agree on something. You and I know people really effing hate Trump. We are some of the people who do. But this, at nearly 8 months into his presidency, more than 71 years into his life, is apparently the first time it or anything like it has gotten through to the future ex-president himself. It had finally dawned on the president, people really effing hate me. For someone who has spent his life lapping up adulation, however fake, it was a harsh realization. This is a man with an especially acute need for affirmation. No kidding! This revelation explains Trump's entire existence and Trump's recent otherwise inexplicable accords with Democratic leaders like Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi, and it even provides cover for Democrats and others who see the necessity of removing what a Fox poll showed, 60% of us agree, is an unstable man from the White House. While Mueller slowly builds his case, while Trump's popularity sinks, and at least some Republicans begin to be faced with the choice of repudiating him or not getting reelected, while his connection to reality continues to fray, while all that happens, everybody can just soft soap Trump. Trump has had a moment of reality worthy of a Shakespearean tragic hero, that lightning flash of self-awareness that we effing hate him. And thus we may be able to continue to play him like Schumer and Pelosi did, like the proverbial $2 banjo, to minimize further damage to the very fabric of human civilization. And the political conventional wisdom again rushes to reassure itself that its cliches still work, that he's pivoting in some way, that he's suddenly a cross-party pragmatist, that he's an independent, that he's a blah, 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 blah. Nonsense. He's right this time. We people just really effing hate him. May I remind you of the headlines of the last 6 weeks? After the Nazis and the KKK rallied in Virginia, Trump made a boilerplate statement about blame on many sides. Then Trump issued a generic statement that somebody else wrote. Then Trump repudiated that statement in a news conference of uncontrolled rage in which he shouted about how both sides were equally guilty. Then Trump held a rally at which he read back his first statement but left out the part about many sides. Trump threatened North Korea with fire and fury. Trump threatened South Korea economically. Trump threatened Venezuela. Trump went back and threatened North Korea again. Trump pardoned Joe Arpaio. Trump said he pardoned Arpaio during a hurricane because the TV ratings would be higher. Trump tweeted during the first hurricane, plugging a book by another infamous now former sheriff. Trump then tweeted during the hurricane about building a wall to keep out people of the same heritage as a huge percentage of the victims of the hurricane. Trump traveled to Texas twice during that hurricane. The first time he saw neither a victim nor a storm. Trump demanded tax cuts for rich people to be speeded up because of the second hurricane. Trump referred to the Coast Guard during the second hurricane as a, quote, brand that has, quote, improved. Trump was repudiated about civil rights by his own Secretary of State. Trump was repudiated about transgender rights by his own Secretary of Defense. Trump was repudiated about anti-Semitism by his own chairman of the White House Economic Council. Trump was so mad at the chairman of his White House Economic Council that he reportedly refused to make eye contact with him. Trump's former senior advisor said in a TV interview that any senator or congressman who voted to impeach Trump would be endangering their own lives and that there would be a civil war. Trump reneged on the promise of DACA, blamed Congress, and then made a vague promise to the Dreamers in a tweet. Trump turned out to reportedly have written a first draft of a letter justifying the firing of the FBI director for not clearing him on Russia. Trump turned out to have at least weighed in and maybe just wrote the untrue statement issued by his own son about a meeting his son had with middlemen his son believed were giving him Russian government dirt on Hillary Clinton. That's all just in the last 6 weeks. One would think that even in the warped minds of those who think all of that was good news, there is one basic human emotion. Enough already. I'm exhausted. I want to watch something else in my life besides Trump. The key thing about tragic heroes from the plays of the ancient Greeks through Shakespeare is that they all have that moment of revelation, that epiphany of, Lord, what have I done? The people effing hate me. But from Oedipus to Hamlet, it has to come too late to make any difference. And usually the tragic hero is still not getting some of the message that the universe is sending him. Thus, if the Trump, quote, presidency, unquote, is classic tragedy, then the quote that Axios attributed to a Trump advisor was necessarily missing a couple of words. It isn't people really effing hate me. It's we the people really effing hate you. Resist. Remove. Peace.
I'm disappointed, Skip and Joy, because this is the tipping point. Of the 7,537 things that President Trump has said in the last 50 years, him calling an NFL player an SOB is what brought the NFL, the owners and its players together. And while some might be moved by the conscience of these NFL's owners, it wasn't their conscience that moved them. It was the cash. Because, see, Skip, what we know about people with money, they don't like being told what to do. They don't like being bullied. You see, President Trump has bullied a lot of people. The very first thing that he uttered as he strolled down that escalator 2.5 years ago, he said, Mexico is sending us their worst, murderers, rapists, and drug dealers. That didn't shock the conscience of the NFL's owners. Him offending Gold Star families, nope. Him calling Rosie O'Donnell a pig. Him on the Access Hollywood talking about grabbing hoo-ha. That did not shock the very conscience of 7 NFL owners. Skip, allow me a second to name those guys. One, Daniel Snyder, the guys on your monitor. Mm-hmm. Jerry Jones. Mr. Bob Kraft. McNair, Houston Texans. Woody Johnson. Shad Khan. They gave $1 million for the inauguration of President Trump. And now they seem to be shocked. Every author that's written a book about President Trump, and they started writing books about him in the 1980s, they say he is exactly today as he was then. Sure. So that is all I want to say about him. Skip. Now what has happened, because what he said in Alabama, play into it, you know what happens in Alabama, Skip. There's something that's going on in America right now that's more valuable than Google and Apple stock. It's more valuable than gold and Bitcoin. It's called race. It's very valuable. And President Trump, he understands that. But Skip, now I'm unimpressed because this wasn't a protest. This was unity. So what are we showing solidarity against, Skip? We're showing solidarity because President Trump, he challenged the very men, wealthy, wealthy men, billionaires. And he told them what you should do if someone protests, you should fire them. They don't like what being told what to do, Skip. And then, Skip, he called a player that protested the anthem, he called them SOBs. Think about that now. He called them SOBs. That's what got the owners. That's what got the players to unite. Is that the worst that he's ever said? Absolutely not. Never called Vladimir Putin an SOB. Never called Erdogan of Turkey an SOB. Even those men that walked down the streets in Charlottesville, Virginia, Skip, carrying the tiki lights, hollering what they were hollering, inciting violence. He never said SOB. As a matter of fact, Skip, he said there were some good people in that group. What has transpired, Skip, again? Because What were they uniting against? It's almost like they were uniting against Colin Kaepernick's right for free speech. That's not what Colin Kaepernick was talking about. It's almost like they're uniting against you trying to attack us. Because see what happened, Skip, when he was from the bully pulpit, when he was looking down upon everybody else, the owners never had a problem with that. It wasn't until he came for the NFL that their conscience was shocked. How dare you tell us what we should do? You think you can tell us that we should fire somebody? Because remember, they said First Amendment. Here we are, 14 months after Colin Kaepernick originally kneeled. Mm-hmm. And when they asked him, he said, it's not about the flag. It's not about the veterans. It's not about the police. It's about the brutality that unarmed men and women of color are suffering. It's about the injustices. It's about the inequities that's going on in America. That's what he said. And still, we talk about the freedom of speech and all these teams released these statements, said how divisive. Only the Seattle Seahawks touched on what the real issue was. And the problem that I have, Skip, is that these guys, some of them, and I'm very disappointed, and a few I'd like to say, I'm very disappointed in one of my very best friends, Ray Lewis. Mm. Ray Lewis sat in that chair right there and said that he could never kneel. He could never not stand for the national anthem because so many people died, and he had family members to fight for this country, and the opportunity and the flag means so much to him. And he kneeled, not on one knee, on both knees. So what were you kneeling for? You kneeled? You showed solidarity because of what President Trump said? And when Colin Kaepernick is trying to draw attention to the injustices going on, you deemed that inappropriate? LaShawn McCoy, you remember what you said about a month ago about Colin Kaepernick? Not only were you kneeling, you were stretching. You were even worse than kneeling. The hypocrisy. And that's what I find so ironic about this, Skip. The very people that said they could never, ever kneel. Some people, I like Tom Brady. Tom Brady said, I'm not going to touch it. I prefer you do that. But these, all of a sudden, I just want to know, what are you unifying against? Are you showing unity? Are you showing solidarity against racism? Or the injustices that's in this country? Or are you showing solidarity against President Trump and what he said? His attack on the very NFL, the Shield. Because what we know about, above all else, those 32 men and the commissioner will protect that NFL Shield at all costs against all foreign and domestic. Mm. President Trump had to find that out the hard way. They've allowed him to attack so many groups in America. It wasn't until he came for one of 32 and the 1,600 men, and only a handful of them, Skip, have ever nailed in protest.
Yep.
And he called them an SOB, and that shocked the conscience. Skip, not grabbing the access Hollywood Joy. That didn't shock anybody. He offended a Gold Star, a family that lost a son fighting for this country. He called John McCain a loser because he was captured. John McCain was a POW in Vietnam. He refused to come home until everybody came home. NFL didn't say a word. Nobody locked arms. So what are we uniting against? What are we standing for now? If that is what it took, what he said, if that what shocked your conscience, if that what made you choose to unite, so be it. But there's a bigger issue, and the issue is the racism and the injustices in America, in which Colin Kaepernick took a knee for in the beginning, and only Martellus and Michael Bennett and Malcolm Jenkins and a handful still understand what the issues are.
Thank you.
Savino Veritas.
Total fabrication.
The gripes of wrath.
It's the Fabulous Geek Show.
I'm all tied up, ready. So-
Veritas is satire spelled backwards.
Welcome to Other Ways.
Good evening,
hey, Steve. How are you, man?
JuicedTalk.com.
Veritas is satire spelled backwards. With a V for victory.
Savino Veritas in Wine the Truth. This is Artist D.
And Anne Marie from Up All Night on 4 Culture Radio.
Have you got any wine, Anne Marie?
I'm completely intoxicated.
We love to wine. We drink wine. We listen to Savino Veritas every week at JuiceTalk.com. Don't we love Tom?
Hi, Tom.
Hi, Tom.
How you doing?
Dear fellow Europeans, a devastating humanitarian crisis is threatening a small country on the coast of North America, the United States of America. 24,000 injured, 11,000 dead this year alone. Every day, 40 U.S. citizens die because of a terrible epidemic, nonsensical rifle addiction. NRA is a constitutional disorder caused by a dysfunction of the prefrontal Second Amendment in the nonsensical cortex, causing patients to shoot people. It starts with an innocent Colt, but soon patients will show signs of shotguns, sniper rifles, and M16s even. Often, patients use silencers to hide their condition. People who suffer from NRA have a big impact on their environment. Family, classmates and random strangers struggle with fatigue, anxiety, and the feeling of getting shot in the face. NRA is highly contagious. Parents often pass it on to their children. This happens automatically or semi-automatically. Scientists still can't explain why, but while it's spreading like wildfire throughout the US, NRA seems unable to cross the ocean or the Canadian border. Nonsensical rifle addiction is hard to eradicate. People with the most severe form of NRA are often in hard-to-reach places like rural areas or Congress. Many Americans are desperate.
911, what's your emergency?
I'm wounded. I need thoughts and prayers.
I'll send an ambulance, sir.
No, I said thoughts and prayers.
But we Europeans can help. Programs have been initiated, like the Nonsensical Rifle Addiction Anonymous, the NRAA.
Hi, I'm Mike. I haven't shot anyone in 6 years and 41 days.
But more help is needed, urgently. We cannot turn away, so donate now. Text STOP NRA to 00312222222. With your contribution, the Red Cross can send airplanes to drop water, blankets, facts, insights, statistics, and truth bombs. Yes, those are bullet points, because bullet points don't kill people. Ignorance kills people. Let's help the American people fire congressmen instead of guns. Say nay to NRA.
Contributors must be over 18 years old. Your money may be used for scientific research or to bribe Republican senators.
That was the audio from a German TV satire. Not to be outdone by foreigners. Keep the show American. Let's keep it American. For you Trumpers out there, keep it American. Here's Keegan-Michael Key and Billy Eisner.
Hey guys, it's Billy, and I'm out here today ready for a brand new obstacle course that I like to call Super Sloppy Semi-Automatic Double Dare. As many of you know, I love the old-time Nickelodeon game show Double Dare that I grew up watching, and this year we have found a theme for a new obstacle course, which we believe is the world's first obstacle course without any real obstacles. Of course, I'm talking about trying to legally buy a gun in America, and we have a great contestant here today ready to run our lack of obstacle course. He's one of the most acclaimed television performers alive right now. Please welcome from Key & Peele, and that's about it, Keegan Michael Key. How are you, Keegan?
I'm doing great, Billy. How are you doing, man?
I'm so glad you're here.
Let's exercise some democracy today, huh?
Love democracy.
Me too. I just want to get guns.
We are going to run through an obstacle course today that takes us on a tour of the United States of America. The more guns that you acquire along the way, the safer and more American you become. Do you understand, Keegan?
I completely understand, yes.
And away we go! Okay, first obstacle. We all know the Second Amendment allows for everyone in this country to have the right to bear arms. Of course, that was ratified by people back in 1791 who owned slaves and were referring to things like muskets and not anything as dangerous as an automatic weapon or, you know, a good satire. So today, our first obstacle is to fudge the Second Amendment. Take this chocolate fudge and actually fudge the Second Amendment. Especially those words, well regulated. Perfect. Okay, great. Moving on. You did it. Okay, now, Keegan, you have to take your name off the terrorist watch list. If you're a person in this country on the terrorist watch list, you cannot get a gun. Oh, wait. Yes, you can, because here comes Eddie the Eagle, the mascot from the National Rifle Association, who has lobbied Congress successfully so that they reject a bill which makes it harder for terrorists to get guns in this country. You're good to go. Let's go, Keegan. Oh, wait. Oh, my God. Look who's on the terrorist watch list. My God. It's Jane Kaczmarek from Malcolm in the Middle. That's where she's been. Let's go, Keegan. Let's go. You were on Mad TV. Okay.
Yes.
Now we're in South Dakota, which means we're at the world famous Mount Rushmore. In South Dakota, any private gun owner can sell a gun to any other citizen without any type of background check or permit. So climb under Mount Rushmore, get on your back in the spirit of Double Dare, Keegan.
Yes.
Put your hand under George Washington's nose and find the shotgun. Find it, Keegan. Find the shotgun in George Washington's nose. Look at that. There you go. Let's get your gun. Let's go. We got your gun. Next state, Keegan. This is the state you're from. It's Michigan.
Yeah.
Yes. Now, just to remind everyone, Michigan is not just the state where Madonna toyed with going to college. It's also a state where you can now bring your unconcealed weapon to a children's daycare center. Yes, taking daycare a business. Am I right, Keegan? Climb into the sandbox,
yes,
try to avoid the children, and find the shotgun that's buried inside. Yeah, there you go. It could be anywhere. It could be anywhere. Find the gun. Find your gun. Wait, what is... Okay, there we go. You got it. God, these kids are so happy to see you. They think you're Don Lemon. Okay, Keegan, now we're in Kansas. Now, Kansas allows for conceal and carry, meaning you can carry your guns anywhere on your person and go almost anywhere you want. You can hide them even. Oh, look, we're on the Yellow Brick Road, and there are your friends. It's Dorothy the Tin Man, the Scarecrow, and the Cowardly Lion. Oh, my God. Oh, my God, it's the Wicked Witch of the West. Shoot her. Shoot her, Keegan. Shoot the Wicked Witch. Oh, no, you shot the Cowardly Lion. The Cowardly Lion is dead. Maybe if you had a gun, you wouldn't be dead. What a fucking coward. Let's go, Keegan. Let's go. On to the next state, Keegan. We're going west to California. Okay, Keegan, we're in California now. To be fair, it is easier to buy a Golden Globe nomination for Gael Garcia Bernal than it is to get a gun in California. But don't worry. We have Eddie the Eagle here who's going to fly you over state borders into Alaska where you can buy guns in bulk. Hey, Eddie the Eagle, now's as good a time as any to remind you that Keegan can be seen in the second season of USA's hit show Playing House. Here he comes! Yes, look at that beautiful black man fly! This is like Space Jam! All right, let's go! All right, now we're in Alaska, Keegan. And so here in Alaska, there's actually no law against bulk gun purchasing. Yes, you can purchase your guns in bulk. So we have Sarah Palin here and the moose from that old show, Northern Exposure.
Yes.
Sarah's gonna give you a rifle, and you're gonna use that rifle to break open our gun pinata.
Okay.
Yes, use that rifle to break open our gun pinata. There you go, break it open. There you go, break it open. There you go, yes! Oh, look what's inside! Look what's inside! It's little guns! I've never felt so safe! Okay, Keegan, all right, now we're back at the East Coast. We're in Washington, D.C. Here's the problem, okay? This actually might be an obstacle, okay? There is a bill on the table in Congress which might actually expand background checks for people looking to buy a gun online or at a gun show. So here's what you have to do, Keegan.
Yeah.
You have to go inside this gun lobby that we built. You have to get as much cash as you can so we can pay off congressmen so they can make sure the bill is rejected. Get inside this gun lobby. We built this gun lobby here. Bring your guns in the gun lobby!
Oh, sorry, really.
Bring them in the gun. No, other way! Jesus Christ, on Comedy Central, 5 years, can't find a door. Okay, here we go. There you go, Keegan. Yes, yes, John McCain got over $7 million from the NRA. Yes, Senator Tom Tillis from North Carolina, over $4 million. Senator Cory Gardner, over $3 million from the NRA. The list goes on and on. Grab the money, Keegan. Grab as much money as you can so you can pay them off. Okay, great. Now come out of the gun lobby. Come out of the gun lobby, Keegan. Come out of the gun lobby and give this lovely senator as much money as you can. There you go. There you go. Great. Okay, great. Wait, what's that, Senator? Oh, that's just a little blood on your hands. Okay, next obstacle. Okay, these are the loopholes.
Yeah.
You gotta take your guns, climb through the loopholes we have in the few gun regulation laws we do have in this country. Climb through the loopholes with your guns, Keegan. Yes, my favorite loophole of the many is the default proceed loophole, which only gives the government 3 days to make sure someone who wants to buy a gun doesn't have a mental problem. We give the government 3 days to figure out if someone who wants a gun has a mental problem. It took this country 15 years to forgive Winona Ryder. Let's go, Keegan. It's the grand finale. Yes, we're gonna fire this larger-than-life pistol, but first you have to pull that trigger and watch the human bullet fly. And away we go. Oh! Oh my God, I bet you can see Jason Bateman directing from up there. Yes! Let's go! Give me my Emmy Award. I did political comedy, now I want my f***ing Emmy Award. Otherwise, it wasn't worth it. Yes! 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 Look at me, Samantha Bee! I got my Emmy Award, yes! That's Keegan Michael Key. Keegan, you won the super sloppy semi-automatic double dare obstacle course. How do you feel?
I feel amazing. I got all the guns. I couldn't feel safer than I do right now, Billy.
You look so safe. You look so American. Eddie the Eagle, thank you so much. Thank you. That's the super sloppy semi-automatic double dare obstacle course. Only on Billy on the Street. Seacrest out!
He's making dreams come true. Billy on the Street.
My mistake? That's not Billy Eichner. Billy Eichner of Billy on the Street and Keegan-Michael Key having fun here on Savino Veritas, live from Burbank, California, by way of SRN1 in Canada, and 24/7 on JuicedTalk.com.
I alone can fix it.
When you knew you couldn't fix it alone. Feds and media aren't kidding. We've got you covered. Penultimate collusion. When the next to last door is wide open, we ensure the final one won't ever shut. With penultimate collusion insurance, you'll get partisan spin by friendly committee reps.
That doesn't help us a lot.
Fake news redirection.
No evidence of anything into 5 investigations on Capitol Hill. That's a pretty good trick.
And conspiracy theory diversion.
Welcome back to Hannity. Questions continue to swirl around the mysterious murder of DNC staffer Seth Rich.
You can rest securely knowing that a good portion of your premium always goes toward gerrymandering to ensure they'll never be enough votes to impeach you. And with Penultimate, regardless of your history of corruption and even obstruction of justice, will never drop you for a pre-existing condition. If there is a there, you can count on our there. Penultimate collusion insurance. We're there when there's a there.
Collusion insurance may void in California, Washington, and Oregon. Coverage does not include active enabling. A shift in party dominance in the Congress and or the Senate may void coverage. Collusion insurance does not cover an act of God should you be struck dead by atmospheric conditions, including but not limited to lightning, mudslides, or flood.
Penultimate collusion. There. I'm your host, Tom Savino of Savino Veritas, and thank you so much for joining me on my return back. In keeping with our theme for the evening, I hope you remember to listen to us, if not automatically, semi-automatically, every Thursday night, and 24/7 at the Too Cool for School website, JuicedTalk.com.
Meeting is adjourned. Oh, I am sorry, sir. I didn't mean to overstep my bounds. You say that.
What?
Meeting is adjourned.
It is?
No, you say that, Governor.
What?
Meeting is adjourned.
It is?
The end.
By George, he's got it. It is the end.
No, that'll be all. Just be sure to lock the door behind you on your way out. Good night.